This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real-ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
What's up? What's up?
I'm TT.
I'm Gigi.
And I'm Dee Dee.
This is episode 229 of the LA edition of the Oprah Rose Show.
We are still in LA.
Nigga.
It's been so long.
And you're having a blast.
I mean, you know, if you listen to the last episode, T just might be making a move. Shit.
No, T never said that. She just said she's like open to it.
She
doesn't hate
open.
It as much. Yeah.
I know y'all going to Atlanta. That's okay. I'm happy to have a positive influence on the West Coast vibes.
Yeah. No, we're happy to have you over here.
It's getting better.
Yeah. It makes it feel like home when we come visit because you're here.
Yay.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, good.
I've only ever come here for work. And so I think that's why I associate with LA is just like work. I don't think I've ever come here just to be like, oh, I'm just going to kick it.
Yeah.
Like, and then that time we did, we went to Palm Springs. Right. So we weren't in LA.
Yeah.
I've
come to kick it. I came for Halloween. With my girls to come kick it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I mean, California is a beautiful state in general.
That's true. It is bigger than LA.
Oh, yeah.
Much bigger than LA.
So much bigger than LA.
I was like, what?
Okay, yeah.
I got that. Okay.
As always, like, rate, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. Check us out on the socials.
The Patreon. We have a lot of good, I want to say, like, after hours conversations with our guests from this LA trip. So make sure you check out the Patreon. Sorry, I'm drinking sparkling water. And as always, like, comment, subscribe. You said that.
Yes.
But write in any of your listener letters to the Oprah Rose Show at gmail.com.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm excited about today.
Me too.
You want to know why? Actually, G should do the introduction.
Yeah, she absolutely should.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, my baby daddy. Like, I don't yeah, the man that trapped me, happily trapped me. Yes, he is also one of my closest friends pre-child, which has been like an interesting but also great turn of events. Also creator, business owner, entrepreneur, art enthusiast, father, style icon. But punch. It's at its punch. Welcome, babe.
Thanks for having me.
we're gonna complete this boyfriend trinity of the Oprah Rose Show.
I really think that 66 Poppy came on an episode.
I don't remember. But
you gotta get him on.
We do.
Yeah.
I haven't seen G so giddy to introduce a guest before. Actually,
wow.
I love to see it. Hashtag black love. Love it. Especially in LA.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. We have talked about
you
that
have
too.
To listen.
We have.
You have to, you know, claim that damn black love in LA.
Yeah.
Punch, well, we are so happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
Like you said, oh my gosh, your newest role. Dad. so crazy. Like your newest title. I think I want to add another title, like King of Digital in the music space. Like I have probably called Punch so many times. Like, is this really right? Like, what does this even mean? Like, all things digital and music as well.
Thank you. We're also like basically a digital staffing agency at this point.
Yeah.
You always call me like, yo, I need this. And
every time I'm like, I need somebody that works in digital. I need somebody that works in digital. It's like literally, I think I've hit you five times for it. Like, mm-hmm. This is obviously like the fastest growing, I feel like, department you know, at a label or in music. So y'all are super vital to everything that happens and goes on.
Yeah, it's crazy because it all started just fucking around on Twitter.
Really?
Really?
Like when you on say Twitter? That, like how though?
I mean, so like my history in digital, really, I was just fucking around on Twitter. And I would just be bored. I was working at a call center. I think I told you that.
Yeah, that you told me. But I was thinking about your Tumblr, not Twitter per se. But that, I guess that makes sense.
It started from Twitter and then Tumblr. Tumblr is like when the creative shit started. But really, I would just be like, so I worked at an inbound call center. Mm-hmm. And I'd just be sitting there like bored as fuck. And so while I had the free time, I'd just be trolling people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how I met Raheem too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we met
on Twitter. You were a troll that turned trolling into a business.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't do it anymore.
Right, right, right. But, you know, that's how it starts.
Yeah, I mean, that's the condensed version. It's a little, I was a blogger before that, but I really took off from Twitter. I was actually lit on Twitter at a point.
Like, I'm like 2010 Twitter, 2009. Okay.
2008.
Oh, that's when you could say anything.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That was Wild West Twitter.
Yeah. I don't have a Twitter anymore because of that. But yeah.
And really? Then we used to work together.
Yeah. We used to work together. But what happened was, so like I would just be trolling on Twitter, and then what happened was there's this whole new job called I think it was called Interactive Media. It wasn't even called digital marketing at the time. It was called Interactive Media or something, and then a label reached out. I got hired on the spot. And then I started working at Motown. I feel like you were at Motown at the same time, or
I don't remember. I think you were at Motown.
Is that when I met? That's when I think I met you. I don't even know if we were all at Motown at the same time.
Because I don't remember you at Motown.
And
at
I
all.
Do because with Bianca, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but then that might have been there because I didn't leave until the merge into Republic. And I was laid off.
Yeah, I don't remember a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I was at Motown, and then I seen you on my first day.
For real?
Yeah. You walked in. I was like, yo, this girl is loud as fuck.
Wait, what?
I never told
screams.
You
that.
No. Yeah.
What? And man, jewelry. He always talks about
Wait,
how.
What? That was your first impression.
That was literally my first impression.
Is that I was loud?
With mad jewelry.
Yeah.
I was like, mad jewelry. I always say that I did wear a lot of jewelry.
Yo, you just
I toned down.
You literally just bust in the office. Da, 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 I hate this project. Da, 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 da.
Nothing has changed. Wow. I'm Nothing the same person changed. From 2010. Mm-hmm. Are you serious? That was really, that's crazy that was your, somebody said that their impression their what they would think of me, they don't know me that well. It's like from my Instagram, at least, is that I'm just like always complaining and working out. And I was like, yeah. And I love TikTok.
That's accurate.
So, yeah. I was like, it's very, for someone that does not know me, I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. So yeah, same bitch, different times, different day.
That's funny.
I'm dead. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to be quiet for the rest of the episode.
No, the Beyonce of the group cannot be quiet.
No. It's going to last 2 seconds.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. So I'm like, so then, okay. So you were there, and then what did that?
So I was there for like 3 months, and then I got laid off. I forgot what other type of merger. I think it was the fucking, it was some shit. I think Motown got condensed into a boutique agent.
I guess we were there at the same time, but it was, I just didn't cross paths.
Yeah. We probably didn't cross paths.
And wow.
So, yeah. All on the same floor.
Right.
I was on the radio floor. So I wasn't.
Yeah, you were on a different floor.
I think I was on 8 and everyone else was on 7 or something like that.
And I was on the shared services floor. I think you were on the same floor too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was so loud. I don't know.
Right. We could hear you and feel and know where you're at.
You know, it's just a lot of energy more so. So you got to bring the vibes.
Right.
You got to bring the vibes. Okay, and then next, where? What happened?
So I got laid off, right? I got laid off on a Friday, and I was walking down the street. Yeah, I was salty, man. So I was walking down the street, and then, you know, I'm coming fresh, like damn near from Atlanta, and we smoke Black and Miles hella. So I was smoking a Black and Miles, and then I ran into Ayal.
Oh, wow.
As I'm walking down the street, right? And I'm walking down the street, and then he says, "Hey, buddy, yo, I threw that Black and Miles so fast, I was just like, hey, what's up?" And he was like, "Man, me and Joey, I were just talking about you, and we want to bring you to Warner." And then that's
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
The day I get laid off.
That, see, yeah, wow. That is very, yeah. Come on, universe.
Right.
Wow. It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what'd you think when you met me at Warner? This is funny because you tell me this all the time.
Oh, yeah. I was like, she's a bitch.
This is not where I thought we were going.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. Maybe it's you.
He
maybe like, you were projecting.
He like asked me a question, and I was just very
rude.
Like,
I don't know. It was something. He was working on something. I think it was like a, it wasn't Young Jeezy because he wasn't signed to Warner, but it was some artist.
I've heard that about me too, but I think sometimes it's also different. Like, you know how someone can give you a perspective of someone that they work with, but like if you're friends with them, you're like, oh, they're not like that. Right. Like, because when you are, you know, in a work environment with someone, like it's tense, you know, and it's like a lot. So your perception, I feel like, is typically going to be different. So, right.
Yeah.
While you're like probably asking a question, I can't remember who it was. Somebody used to always ask me one question like every day about a mentor of ours, and I used to be like, I don't know, nigga, I don't got no track on her, and that's literally that's how he remembered. I was like, I don't, yeah, I was literally at work, like, I don't know,
that
nigga.
Was me.
Yeah, like I was like Jada Pinkett and like Woo or some shit, like filing nails. She's like, I don't know, nigga, I don't know, like that's
call actually, her.
Yeah, I don't know, you might want to ask. And he used to be like, oh, I was just asking a question. Well, don't. How about that?
How
okay?
About that?
Don't ask.
That's
but like,
funny.
Yeah. You kind of, and you know, we had an episode, I think 2 episodes ago, and we were talking about like mean girls in the industry and everything. And it's like, you don't want to be that. But again, there's like so much, I think, that people don't understand that like goes on in the day that you're dealing with. So it's like, when you come like with stupid questions, not stupid questions, but like certain energy sometimes, it is like, do you know what I was going through today, nigga?
Did you ask me how are you before you walked over?
That's
here?
So that was my thing with that particular, and I just remember who it was. That was always my thing. He never asked me like, hey, how are you? It would literally be like, where is she? And I was like, I don't.
You know, I look like an LAPD.
I need salutations. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a person too.
Yeah, and it's like for me to be someone that does not do them in text message, like in person, I don't play that. Like, you cannot just like jump out the gate and just start like talking with
it. Takes literally 30 seconds.
Yeah, like, hey, like, what's going on? Yeah. Something.
Like, did you go out for lunch today?
Even if you don't give a fuck. Yeah, like, just, we know. Yeah. Nobody cares. Right. But
at least hi.
Yeah.
You know? So, got it. So, you've had a career, back to your storied career. So, you were at Motown Warner.
Warner, and then I moved out to LA. And then I was working at I was working for Under IL strictly on MMG. That's when Maybach Music Group was a thing. So I was focused on that. And then another merger happened. These fucking mergers.
Yeah.
Story of my life. So then if you worked at Warner Brother Records in LA, then you had to stay in LA. And if you worked on Warner Brother Records in New York, then you got to go you got to stay in New York. But I wanted to get back to New York so fucking bad that I told Ayala, I was like, bro, please just lie and say that on the sheet that I live in New York. And then so I ended up going back to New York.
Got it.
And then we merged with Atlantic, me and Janae.
And yeah.
Yeah. And so then next thing you know. Yeah.
You? And y'all stayed friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were friends at Warner, Atlantic. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When she was the bitch, how did we turn that into friendship? Oh, right. Like,
that didn't deter me at all. I like this.
He's like, challenge. Challenge accepted.
Like, bling. Yeah. So, but the more we talk, I was like, she's from the Midwest? I'm from the Midwest? Super cool. But yeah, so then we were at Atlantic. We weren't getting paid anything. And at some point, I was just like, yo, we're going nowhere fast. Yo, I was living, remember I had the house on 125th and 2nd?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yo, it was like the Walking Dead, like mad, like crackheads outside.
Oh, we were just talking about that too, off the 405.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
It's dark. It's still like that.
Yeah.
But that was a cute apartment. I remember you moved in there.
And I
brought you a blanket or some shit.
Yeah, you know, I keep the aesthetics. I'm going to make it work no matter where I'm at.
A blanket, a pillow, something. Yeah.
Yeah. He had no blanket.
He had no bed.
We went to IKEA the next day.
Yeah.
So what was you sleeping on, my nigga?
The floor.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We had a collective. It was me, Chanel, and Brianna, and we were all responsible for Punch. It was like this thing. It was... You know, black women always taking care of somebody, but...
Always.
It was like a funny thing, because we'd be like, oh... Maybe you should, you know, you've been to the doctor, like, oh, he need to go to the doctor. It was just like this fun, help get his whole shit together.
Oh my God.
So everyone had their duty. So then when he moved into his spot on 125th, it was like, all right, how are you set up? Let's make sure you straight, you know.
And you took, me to IKEA the next day.
Yep. Always doing the work. I mean.
Yep.
Always.
Could you have imagined then that y'all two would be sitting here now?
He had the foresight.
My foresight is nasty. I told her in 2013 it was going to happen. And she tweeted something. I got to find that tweet. She was like, you're not even in the friend zone. You're in the family zone. I'm like,
like she at replied that to you.
I forgot the context of it. I got to go back and find it. But yeah, I'm really in the family zone now. So.
Right. Yeah, y'all are eternal family. Yeah.
Prophecy fulfilled.
Right.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Even with the baby. So everybody on the show knows about Jessie.
Okay.
We like love her. Like she'd just be in the background chilling, like dance class, the whole thing. So like how does it feel being a dad?
It's fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like endless entertainment. Cause every day she comes up with something new. It's just I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's a much like dad or parent energy.
Yeah.
Actually, every episode but one for the last few episodes have been like a lot of like parent energy. I love it.
It's big parent energy for us.
We're like, maybe one day.
The girls want their eggs cracked.
Right. You trying to have some more?
Absolutely.
Are you one of those like, I'm trying to have as many kids as I can afford or just like two more?
I'm trying to have as many children as possible. We talked about this.
Oh my God. How do you feel about this?
My compromise is one more.
Yeah.
That's my compromise. Because I'm like content.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot to only have one child. I feel like it's a lot on them, right? Because at some point, you know, God willing, we'll pass on before her. And that is a lot to leave on one person, like when you think about it in the grander scheme of things. And so I don't know that I want to like leave her like that, I guess.
And it just helps you too.
She got somebody to boss around. She needs somebody to boss around other than me and him.
Right.
Yeah. Because she clearly bosses us around. So she needs that. She would be great at that. You know, it's me. It's me. I don't like the pregnancy.
I've never been pregnant. And I don't
like the baby stage.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be pregnant. Shit.
Like we had previous episode, we had Good Moms, Bad Choices. And I think Mila mentioned that she liked the baby phase and was like 3 to 7. Like you need to be. And I'm kind of like the opposite. Like I did not like the baby. Like it was cool. Don't get me wrong. But I like the independency. I like that you can communicate. You can tell me what's wrong. You can use the bathroom on your own. Yeah. You can, like, I can leave you somewhere and it's fine. You know, I like more of an independent child. So going, like, the thought of going back to that is like,
you need
it's very choking. Yeah. Like, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. It's a lot.
It is.
I'll take one more. I'll take what I can get.
No, I'll take what I can get. Oh my God.
So in part of it, are you both like, you know, keeping Jessie like cultured and like introducing her to like the arts? And I know she does dance class.
Mm-hmm.
She does her dance class on every Saturday.
Every Saturday. Yeah.
Early as hell.
Yeah. 8 a.m.
Yeah, that's so early. I was like, they ain't got no 9 a.m. class. I was like, the fuck?
I wish.
Like, that's so early. Yeah, my nephew be at soccer games at like 8:30. Like they be back home at 10. I was like, yo, I'm not even up. Like what?
Yeah.
And the game started at 8:30.
Right. It's so ridiculous. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So how do you both maintain making sure that she's cultured in the arts? And like, what do you see more with that?
Well, I mean, obviously she holds down the dance side and everything Afrocentric. That's kind of like her thing.
Come on, Afrocentric.
Like, I know I'm black, but he reminds me that I'm blackity black.
Blackity black. Like,
oh my God. I can't help it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I do think, one, you know, and I'm not saying that black people aren't affluent, but like the higher up you go, I think it is something that you kind of do have to maintain. Like you guys are, especially when you don't have like a lot of family around, right? So a lot of times you could just like leave your kid with the rest of your family members and you kind of, you know, you're immersed in that culture. Like when we're moving to all of these different cities, you don't have that, you know, you don't have like a big family structure to just like leave around. You like, you know, the recipes is getting passed down. So it's almost like you have to be really intentional about like, okay, we're going to this school or like whether it be like this playground or, you know, this dance school and stuff like that. Because, like, my parents were like that. I only went to, like, black school, like, black, like, dance schools. And, like, it had to be, like, you got to do something. It got to be black. Like, it, you can't have black dolls. It was like, all right, okay, okay, okay. Right, Jesus Christ, okay, I know Barbie White. But, like, that was, like, forbidden in my house. Like, it was quiet. It was no such thing as, like, blonde hair, blue eyes, Barbie dolls. And so now,
I'm not opposed to it.
But you went to a private or Catholic school?
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school. So there, and again, I kind of like that intentionality. But you have to be.
I like that balance.
Yeah, that there was definitely a balance, right? That it wasn't, because I think it was, I was in white school, like predominantly white schools, that when you came home, though, it was, like I said, everything else, like that I was, anything like extracurricular, like outside of school was definitely black, for sure.
Okay.
So, and that's why I said in here, specifically in LA, obviously there's black pockets of LA, but, you know, you have to, I think, be intentional with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This is coming from somebody that ain't got no damn kids.
No, it's important. I mean, like, when I grew up, like, my mom would just, like, force me to read, like, the autobiography of Malcolm X and COINTELPRO and all this stuff.
So I actually remember you saying that, like, 15 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. I actually remember you saying that. And I was like, my kids is going to be reading Huey Newton. Like, absolutely. Your ass is going to be, like, reading. Like, that's exactly what the fuck you going to be reading. Like, make no question about it. Because I think it's, I kind of mentioned this a little bit before. Like, I know someone that has a kid out here. And I feel like their kid has, like, no idea of, like, blackness. Because it's not intentional. You know, and so that you kind of have to, like, I feel like you have to, that's why I said, I feel like you have to kind of like force it on them. Like you said, so it's like you reading the autobiography of Malcolm X. Absolutely.
Yeah. Our saying is that we ain't raising no roos.
Exactly. Because no shade, that is the pathway to a roo. Okay. Be very, very clear.
Important. But I think at a point in time, like the kid also needs like a worldly viewpoint at the same
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you're black, right? Yeah. Like I know that, obviously. I spent 13 years of my life fucking being forced down my throat. But that doesn't define me. You know what I mean? And I want her to have that same, like, luxury, too.
Yeah.
You know,
she could be like, I'm not black, I'm green. You're fucking green. I'm not going to tell you otherwise.
See, don't come over here. I'm be like, girl, you're black. Okay? You black on black. Black on black.
Well, tell me a little bit more about why you're green.
Right, you'll be like, girl, no, don't nobody got time for that. Girl, you is black, okay? No. Like, it's giving no imagination. None. So, yeah, I think one of the other things that you are interested in that I have no clue about, like you said you bring the vibes and you always got the aesthetic. And so you are, I think I've hit you, too, about, like, art, too, as well.
Yeah, you
like,
have, yeah.
Like, what is the broke bitch's guide to art? Because, like, I just started buying things for my walls. And, like, my favorite paintings you got me. I was like, oh, my God. It was, like, the best gift ever. It was that Malik Roberts, like, small painting. And I love it. It, like, fits so perfectly in my house. And then I just started, like, buying other stuff. I think I tried to go to, like, Amazon for something. And my homegirl was like, girl, no, we're not. Like, she literally sent me. And they're not, like, you know, $10,000. Prints or anything, but like people on Instagram that was like, here are some people, like, do not go and just buy some random shit. And then I like put together my own like Black Panther, like, newspaper things that I've set up,
and that's fire.
So outside of that, though, I don't really, all my shit is black too, now I think about it. But outside of that, I don't really have, you know, outside of my Malik Roberts painting, I don't really, like, you know,
which was him.
And I wanted one, so.
It's all good. It's us.
My friend has the huge one.
Like, oh, wow. House.
I mean, it is like half the size of the wall. So that's why I was like, no, I really.
Oh, he has the actual canvas.
Yeah, he has the actual canvas.
Oh, wow.
And it's literally, I mean, it like takes up half this wall or something like that. Like,
wow, that's humongous. Incredible.
And he like got it for free. Like, I'll tell y'all after here. But that's how I was first introduced to him. So when you gave it to me, I was like, oh my God, I want it one so bad. Like, So yeah, what is the broke bitch's guide to art? Like, how do we acquire these? Because, you know, all the rich niggas be talking, you know, Jay-Z be talking about, you know, Blue kid got a Picasso in her room. Yeah, now, I ain't buying no goddamn Picassos and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
A print.
Right.
So they said a print. So it starts with like understanding like the landscape, right? Like what's popping in art. Right now there's a black renaissance.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, okay, black art is it. But then you can't just go for any artist. When you buy into art, you're buying into the person, the story of the person, the trajectory of the person. So like, let's just say if I'm into like Malik Roberts, right? I'm going to look up the whole history of Malik Roberts. Where is he going? Any artist that's like doing like commission work, banned. No. I have a firm stance.
What is commission work?
Like, oh, here's $1,000. I want you to paint my mom. No.
Okay.
No.
Really?
No.
This is a new nugget. I don't think you told me this.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do commission work because it's like I want to see things through your lens.
Right.
You know, like I want.
That was on an episode of Billions.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't do commission work. Yeah. Because well, he was like, you can. The artist felt like he could be bought.
Exactly. Okay.
That shows you that I'm aligned here. So yeah, yeah. So I don't do any commission, anything commission. You typically don't want to fuck with anybody who does commission work, because that just shows you they're doing it for money.
Right.
Like
it's not about the art.
Yeah. You know. So then there's that. Then you want to be like, okay, what have you did any exhibits? Have you did any solo shows? If they've done a solo show, then it's like, okay, then you're kind of lit. Then it's like, what gallery did you do the solo show with?
It's even pretentious now.
Right? No, steps.
No, but I get it.
I can break this down on a real nigga level, but like, but basically.
But there's like a hierarchy almost.
Yeah, it's like you just don't want to like, you know, like people be having art in their crib and the shit just like, it holds no value. Maybe like on a personal level, but if we're talking about like.
An investment.
Yeah, an investment. You want to know that the person is going places.
That's like, remember, like, especially growing up, everybody had the same black art in their house. Like, oh, the tired lady with the blue.
The Martin Luther King.
Like, Martin Luther King. Everybody had, like, the same exact.
The guy in all white with the piano.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, wow. He had, like, the dreads.
Wow.
My parents still have that up.
Well, a black-ass household.
Black household. But I think even then is, like, you know, 90s, I feel like, was a good black art renaissance as well. But then it was, like, people would come to your home and sell art. It was like art parties in that way.
I vaguely remember.
That's hard. I never heard of that.
Yeah, like,
I don't know about that. Well,
apparently only in Baltimore they had
sex toy parties.
Art
wait,
parties.
Gallery parties.
Yes, like when we were younger, they always had sex toy parties. Like,
oh, okay.
And like your aunt would have like a sex toy party.
I just had to process that. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Art, I kind of remember because I remember at like Artscape that they would have, you know, like a bunch of art.
Whoever that vendor was, you could chat with them and they'd be like, and you'd say, I can have some friends come over to my house and, you know, you could sell the art
vaguely,
there as well.
Okay.
So my parents would do that all the time.
And was selling
and
art.
And was selling art, but it's funny, I didn't pick that up at all.
Come on, art dealers.
They were like,
that's hard.
So it's like a lot of the art in the house was free based off of the relationship they had with the artist.
Wow.
Oh, go off.
Mm. Yeah.
Community.
Oh, that's dope.
I should look into that art now.
That's what I'm saying. I need to be asking you questions.
Yeah, yeah. Like you should. Yeah, because like, what is the cost of something like this? Because you went down all these tiers and levels. Like,
I mean, an entry level piece is probably like around 10 bands, something like that.
Uh-huh. Wow.
You went all
and your favorite galleries?
Gallery Anthony for sure. Shout out to my guy Easy.
Gallery
and that's
Anthony's
located.
It's in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he's running like this whole black renaissance thing. He's at the forefront of it.
So what are some artists that he showcases at this gallery?
Bryant Giles. He just did something for Gap. Literally just came out today. Sean Crawford, who designed the Last Supreme line. Mia, the girl did
oh,
it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. She just took over the Soul House in Chicago. Like, he only curates, like,
and
black.
And you own her first piece.
Yeah, yep, yep. But it's an investment, because I'm like, she's lit. She's going.
Blowing. 10 bands, you damn right. It's an investment. Shit.
Well, you know, you look at it, like you look at their like their work. You know what I'm saying? Like she did a lot of stuff for like Nike and some like other brands. And but
so when an artist that is a painter essentially is doing something for a brand, what are they doing for Nike exactly?
It could just be like designing content, or it could be like, I want you to remake a shoe model.
Oh, so it's given duplicity in the fact that you can be a painter, but then also, I guess, draw up a sketch to have this actually be a shoe.
Yeah,
got it.
And the new thing is like I've seen some actual data that showed that Nike and all these brands are making money off black curators, black creatives, more so than black celebrities. So let's just say, for example, I'm trying to think of an artist, I don't know. Let's just say if Erykah Badu made her own Reebok shoe, that's only going to sell so much, right? But let's just say if like a Virgil is like, I'm going to come in creative direct, then the sales skyrocket. So the new play is like the Nikes of the world. They reach out to these creators and be like, "Yo, I want you to step in and co-design this," and then
and build the relationship there.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, because I do feel like you see that a lot, specifically with Nike. Well, it's the new thing. Malik Robertson was like Adidas.
Exactly. Adidas. You know, so everybody, all of a sudden, every week on Hypebeast is like, this person got appointed to creative director of this and that, which is dope. Wow. Shout out to them, but that's the play.
Got it. I mean, everybody got to eat, I guess.
Yeah, right. Hire me.
Right? I mean, yeah, you know so much. That's why I said that is a very big investment. So I guess, and then you keep it for 10 years, and is the goal to then sell it, or you're just keeping it and it appreciates, or
it appreciates? Yeah, but this shit just, it gets addictive at a point. I don't even know what the end goal is because I'm not selling none of it.
Yeah.
I'm giving it all to my daughter.
I was just gonna say it's generational.
I'm just giving it. Yeah.
Come on, art gallery in the so she ain't gonna be having no problems like me. You like try to buy shit off of Etsy and Etsy got some cute shit too.
No, Etsy got fire.
Yeah, I was like, Etsy got.
Do you fuck with Artsy?
I think that's the one that has like all, you can like be very specific.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah. You can find artists. Yeah. You can bid on art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or talk to like galleries, because it is one thing that he didn't mention, because I was trying to like purchase a piece for him at one point. I think it was like Christmas or something. And I realized like, oh, I can't just buy niggas art. Like I like was DMing an artist, and he was like, oh yeah, well, you know, like my work is here at this gallery. You can reach out to this gallery. And I'm like,
oh no, I was,
damn,
I was,
nigga, you're not gonna just sell me a shit.
I was gonna go there with it. That's where I was gonna go next. You talking about David Leggett?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another thing with this is you can't just be like, oh, here's 15 racks. I wanna buy this. So the artist needs to know that They want to do their background checks on you.
Oh,
yeah, because they don't want their pieces just living anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, okay, this person has a history with art. He's lit. He's connected to whoop de doop da 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 da. He works in music or something, and then they'll be like, okay, cool. You know.
Oh wow.
Was that a
not
thing
a
when you?
Process.
Yeah, dead ass.
Was that a thing when you got Mia's first piece?
Yeah.
There was like a vetting that happened, because that's a big deal to have an artist like first piece. Like, why wouldn't, as an artist, I hold on to that?
Well, you also have to build history with the gallery. And I've been like strategically building history with this gallery. Anytime anything comes out, I make sure that I support. I'm there. Me, Janae, and her mom are going to the gallery in April.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving Candyman. Remember, he was like,
"Yo, Candyman was lit."
Yeah, it was.
No, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find those pieces. I want to buy them.
Really?
Yeah, them shits was hard.
The ones that he painted. I guess, quote unquote.
Whoever
that
painted. I mean, honestly, though, when you think about it, even remember that Netflix movie? There really is, like you said, and I guess I never even thought about it like that. Like this Black Renaissance of art. That Netflix movie that, like Mac was actually in.
Kofi. Yeah. Okay.
I can't even think of the name of it, but like it was based in
DC.
Yeah, and then he moved to actually Chicago. Yeah, obviously, like Candyman, a whole like, I feel art was such a piece of like, that was all low key like a character.
And just reminded me, I gotta find the I gotta find.
I was about to ask you if you ever figured out who the artist was.
I lost my train of thought, but now I'm back on that shit.
Yeah. You got reminded.
Yeah,
I think they actually say, I went to a screening and they had like the Q&A after, and they, because they talk about that, like how art is a character in the show. And then, so I think it's on one of them, like not the regular movie, but there's like the extended cut and they talk about like whoever it was.
Nice.
Right. That's Thank the you. Answer
that's
right
all,
there.
That's all I needed.
There's somebody, and there was another, I'm trying to think, there was another movie or show or something. And it, you know, I feel like it was a very focal point of it. Mm-hmm. Which, like I said, I love. This is also a very like privileged combo. Like yeah. to be like, yeah, we buying $10,000. I'm still gagging at $10,000.
That's the starting price.
I try not to bring that up. You asked.
I told you this is art for broke bitches. Right. This is art for bitches that don't know art. Okay. But
I feel like I seen some like $3,500, $4,500.
Yeah, yeah. If we. I'm not trying to sound pretentious here.
No. Like 350 is a cute range.
Like 350?
Yes.
That's a print. Yeah, well, prints really be like 500.
So let's dissect that one a little bit too, because what you're alluding to is that it's the original painting. Like the artist painted this on canvas.
Yeah.
I'm buying it for 10 racks.
Yeah.
A reprint.
I better be. Sure.
Well, I guess a print is just literally a copy on a piece of paper of that painting.
Correct. And there will only be like so many copies made. So they'll like Malik, for example, there is the exact canvas, but then he released a select number of prints and they're numbered. Mm. So it'd be like 50 and you have like number 35 of 50.
Got it.
They'd be selling out so quick. Yeah. Too. So I'm annoying. Sure,
'cause they're like so the less expensive version of the actual.
Because even Mia is selling prints of some things.
Her name is just Mia?
Hot Fun Mia.
Okay.
She's dope as fuck.
Shout out to you, Mia.
She's raw as hell.
What was I going to say? What type of art are you looking for when you're like looking? Because I would imagine that the art you have in your home kind of tells a story. And it's not so drastic on like, you got this and it doesn't look anything like the next one. So how do you figure out what story you're trying to tell with the art in the house?
So what I do is I've been rotating, right? So I only
it's
buy
a gallery in the home now.
Right. No, literally. Yeah, no,
it's like, rotating.
That's just literally just like it's pieces laying around and shit. This is a very pretentious conversation now that I think about it.
It really is.
We about to have a part duh of it. You know, duh is my favorite word today. We about to have another part duh of it.
Nah, all right. So basically I started off, I wanted like that classic, like kind of like more modern, no, like more like 1960s style black art at first when you walk in. Like that's when I had like the painting of the families and stuff like that.
Oh,
that
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, now I want something like more like modern and cultural and funny. And then that's when like the whole thing, when I got like the more modern pieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the Felix and the...
Yeah, like the Felix. Like I want, you know, wanted to be happy. And then we're getting... And when we get our house, I've been thinking about that because, you know, again, I know what you're into. So so I was thinking like when we do that, it starts off like very like, you know, black-ish, very like dimly lit. And then as it goes toward my room... In my man cave, that's when I start having all like the pop funny shit.
Oh, the one where niggas first baby mamas look like this. Yo, or whatever.
I gotta show y'all this. I gotta show them that after this.
Who's the artist?
So it's giving personal taste.
David.
David Leggett.
Yeah.
So basically, long story short, I'm into pop art right now.
Got it.
That's it.
Got it. It's an artist. Her name's Rebecca Maria. Have you heard of her?
Probably if I've seen it.
She's doing like more hip hop pop art, where it's like hip hop moments of like Lil Wayne and like the Pink Bape.
Yeah, thing. Like that's where I'm at right now.
Okay,
yeah.
You should check her out. Like I want to buy something so bad. I think she's about to do a collab with Sean Brown, but I think it's gonna be reprints.
Word. Okay.
But one to check out. I think she's based in Toronto, actually.
Okay. Word. I'll get the gram after. Yeah,
I just can't afford it, but I just look at it on the Instagram.
Me neither.
But yeah, like I think she has another painting that, you know, when Virgil and Kanye like hugged each other.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
The,
wow, I forgot
like
I did see that.
Yeah, she like painted that. Like,
oh, I saw that.
Yeah, I think I did see that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Because they don't have like the features aren't in their faces. Right.
It's all, just, it's like a silhouette.
Yeah, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. I did see that. Favorite. Like, the whole baby's room would be those moments.
Yeah.
But you know, like, the biggest private gallery in the world was started by a couple, and they would buy $25 paintings every Friday. And it's the biggest private gallery in the world.
You said they would buy $25 paintings every Friday? Mm-hmm. Is this the people who started the shit in Miami? Lord, I can't think about it.
Yeah.
Art Basel.
Yeah.
Oh, they started black Basel. Couple started that?
No, I didn't say it was black. I just said.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. I said they was broke. See? Oh. I'm bringing it full circle, breaking it down on a broke person level, I guess.
That's how
what you say.
I did. So another thing, like you said, this is a like high level convo, and a lot of times, like outside of art, or actually that's inclusive of art, I hear it every single solitary day at work too, like our NFTs, and it constantly comes up. I feel like you constantly see it. Rappers are getting involved with it. And, you know, if it's like digital currency and art, what the fuck is an NFT?
Non-fungible token.
I fucking hate NFTs. All right. So I'm going to preface this conversation with that. Basically, it's a non-fungible token.
Fungible.
It's a non-fungible token. It's okay, baby. It's a non-fungible token. Basically meaning that it's authenticated. It's yours. Nobody can duplicate it. And that's just it.
Technically,
yeah. Like,
it is digital, so I can take a screenshot of it.
You can take a screenshot of it, but if you look on the blockchain, it's going to say Tierra owns it. You know,
right?
Yeah,
but you can sell them.
Yeah, it's just like just selling the rights to it.
I still don't. Yeah, I it be going over my head. It's just something that I don't even know if I care to like learn about some days. Like,
it's okay, so think about it like this, right? It's like, all right, I'm over here. It's like, you know how a record label owns a catalog, mm-hmm. right? And you like legally own that catalog. Mm-hmm. And if I try to upload that same catalog, it'll get pulled down or something like that. If I try to sell it, I can get sued.
Or like even now, if you upload some shit for too long on your story, they remove it.
Because you don't own the right.
Yeah. Because you don't own it. And then All it's saying is you own it, it's authenticated by the blockchain, and that's it. It's the same thing as a contract. But
and the blockchain is the digital currency that you use, the ledger of the digital currency that you use to purchase.
Yeah, it's the operating system for crypto.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Where's Earn? About that damn crypto combo. That crypto combo. Where's Earn? Like, what?
Shout out to Earn.
Yeah, but like, I think the other thing too about NFTs, and for me, it's like over my head a little bit, but I get it. But I think another way is for creators to actually make more money, where it's like, this is content that is mine, that is not distributed through a medium like a label, that I can sell to a fan or your fan, basically, and that they can own that. So if I'm an artist, Daryl, I released this one song that I was going to put on my album, but I decided not to put on my album. I can do it as like, all right, here's your NFT. Whoever buys it for $1 million, that's your song now. Like, you're the only person who can have the song. Granted, if you decide to release the song, you know, other people can hear it too. But I don't know what streaming services are going to do in regards to acknowledging that that song is rights is someone else's TT's rights, but essentially you would own that song. So artists have done it, like The Weeknd's done it, but we have heard that song as well. So it's like, what is it behind that? Like, what does it mean for me to own this song if I've released it and other people have heard it?
It's just it's a vanity play. It's the same thing of just like owning anything. You know, it's just the whole thrill of being like, I own this shit.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
The whole.
And what you gonna do? Show me on your phone? Like, you
just look.
Just about to hold up. Like, look, this is the song I bought.
I guess it'll come full circle when we're all immersed in the metaverse.
Right. Yeah. And come to my island in the metaverse to hear that.
And you see my digital catalog. Art gallery in my digital house.
Yeah, technically. Yeah.
Y'all know, as I talk about so frequently, I still can't understand Apple Pay. So, you know, I'm like literally.
And I think it's just because, too, we're like in the very beginnings of it all. I always say, just think of the fucking sound. Like, just think of like
being played that.
And
you ever play Grand Theft Auto?
I watched my sister play it.
Grand Theft Auto is basically like the metaverse before the metaverse.
Yeah,
of just craziness.
It's open world. You know, there's houses and you can get cars and do shit. It's the metaverse. Right.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. A lot of us will drop anything to go help someone we care about. I know, I'm guilty of this too. We'll go out of our way to treat other people well, but how often do we give ourselves the same treatment and courtesy? Don't worry, I'll wait. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in just under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Oprah Rose Show listeners get 10% off for their first month at BetterHelp.com/Oprah Rose. That's BetterHelp.com/Oprah Rose, OPRAHROSE. Now, let's get back to the show.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
And we're just on the beginnings of it, so it just doesn't make sense. But in like 10, 15 years, like
it's the Wild Wild West over there now. They got slaves and shit and all of that. They got to clean it up. Yeah. Uh huh. They're selling black slaves on there.
A girl got raped.
Wait, yeah. Yeah. She said she got gang raped.
Yeah, in the metaverse, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see you over there laughing. Yeah.
I have so many questions. Like,
all these things happen because it's not regulated. Like, there's no, like.
Yeah.
So anybody can join the metaverse? Like, how do you even get there?
Well, there are a lot of metaverses right now.
Yeah. But the
I don't think I actually ever, like, delved into this, if I'm being honest.
It's a thing, but I'm more so just sitting back and waiting to see, like, the concept. I understand the metaverse concept, but I want to see how it's going to be applied.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be, like, the primary platform that's going to host it?
That's the thing, because it's many platforms right now where it's, like, Meta. Everybody knows, you know, Facebook is open theirs with the, you know, Mark doing his whole thing about it. But, like, Amazon has one. Technically, there's some games that are metaverses. Like, what is it, Roblox?
So there's not one metaverse.
No.
Oh, okay. No. So I just learned how to do Roblox or whatever. Okay.
That is an example of one.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Game.
But uh-huh. it's eventually going to get monopolized. I feel like. Just like,
and just right. And not to politics as usual, but if Congress was anything worth using, then they would already be on top of, like, putting in things in place so that it isn't monopolized like how the tech world is, right? So now you can, anybody can develop an app, but the goal is to sell it to one of the bigger app people. So like Apple, Amazon, Facebook, et cetera. Hence why Instagram is owned by Facebook, blase. And now there's no way of creating like another Facebook. It's just they've monopolized it so much. So, and because Congress did not jump on it on time, you know, it is monopolized. So if they were smart, they would be on top of it, but you know.
But I get the ease of one platform. Whereas like we're all in one metaverse, it kind of makes it easier. And like you see companies like Nike, like filing patents for designs for NFTs.
It's a race for it.
Nike bought my guy's company. Mm. They're leading their whole NFT thing, artifacts.
Right. So it's like I can buy, you know, Tiffany Nikes in like in the metaverse kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like,
but do you wear them in real life?
No.
My avatar will wear them.
Your avatar.
Nigga, what?
They're trying to push everybody into like just, it don't matter what you do in real life. Your real life doesn't matter. And honestly, we kind of see it already via Instagram because we know, everyone knows, quote unquote, that Instagram isn't real. Yeah. And yet, the more that we live on it, you know, you still
that
kind of believe
reality.
That exactly that everything that and everybody is living is true, right?
Now, so it is giving the Matrix, like, I am so confused.
And then it's like
I'm Morpheus to the, or no, I'm actually not. I'm that little, what's his name, the little mouse, the little tiny one,
the
one that died. No, in the Matrix.
I ain't seen that shit in so long.
Actually, I recently watched this one. I actually love that movie.
No, Matrix is hard.
Yeah, I love that.
I just haven't seen it in a while.
But I think you also add COVID and people being home a lot into this thing as well, where it's like we already are training ourselves to be online.
Yeah, and I don't think it was by accident either. I think we had this conversation before.
Yeah, we did. Whole type shit. You know, sprinkle a little bit of something to keep people in the house.
Yes.
Like, had the NFTs, metaverse, been introduced when we were in 2018, 2019, I don't care about that shit. I'm outside.
Yeah.
But you pay more attention to it because it's something of like, well, shit, we are virtual. Shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. Is this something that I would do if I got to stay home for a little while?
Yeah.
And talk to people? And you can see it pop up in the workplace a little bit where it's like, you know, we're all, like, my company's all on camera, but, like, we could sit here as individual avatars, mm-hmm. and you get emotion, and
yeah.
I can make my avatar do something funny in the meeting that, I don't know, but it could spiral into so many other things. Yeah.
But also, we're millennials, right? So we still remember life before social media, life before, like, being super immersed into a digital space, right? You remember when you were 10 and you rode your bike where you could find all of your friends based off of who's all the bikes being outside somebody's house. Like, our children, you know, our daughter is like Generation Alpha.
That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, you know, Gen Z, they grew up in social media, in digital. Like, Jesse,
that's
her world, you know? Yeah. So for them, this might make more sense.
Yeah,
right? But for us, we're still very much attached, which I don't think is a bad thing, right? But we're still very much so attached to understanding the importance of, like, touching somebody, like physical touch, experiencing people.
That is me. Y'all know, like I said, I'm mama. Like,
reach out and touch.
I am literally like, what?
It's a crazy concept. I mean, I get the idea of the metaverse and NFTs because it's like, you know, a universe beyond the universe, but it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And also, like, people that do, like, physical art and buy, like, pieces and stuff, they hate NFTs.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
That's why you never see, like, a Malik Roberts or anything do, like, an NFT or anything, or even or even mention it. Like, they hate it. They hate that shit. And so do I.
Yeah. I get it.
The problem with NFTs is, like, I think the concept is dope. It's like authenticating something. Yeah. Like, that's dope. Right. The problem is that people are taking art and just selling it, like making random shit, like pictures of people on subways and then selling it for $3,000. And it's a seller's market. Nobody's like, oh, let me try to find a cool NFT for my wallet. You know, people are just, you know, people are just doing it because they're trying to flip.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's a stock or something. You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
Yeah.
And then you got niggas with pictures of apes as their avatar.
And that's a whole other story, bro.
Yeah. That shit is corny.
Nobody thinks that's weird.
And why you want to be an ape?
No, I don't get it. Like,
why I got to be an ape?
Why you want to be an ape and pay all this money to be and pick out? All right, so let me get number 33.
That's spiraling me back. Like, that's giving, like, minstrel show and shit.
Yeah.
It does look like that a little bit.
Yeah. Also, my guy Ryder, he was Kanye and Travis creative director for a while. Jewish kid. He did a whole full comprehensive breakdown on how, like that ape shit is racist as fuck.
Yeah. Niggas is just buying into it because you see Future, Gunna, Steph Curry having their, like, profile pictures as apes.
So it's not the same one?
No. Nah, you get, like, different ones.
I actually thought they were all the
and
same
they'll
ones.
Change, like, a hat. One will be wearing a hat, like Didi's hat or something like that.
And like, Steph's is, you know, like, wearing blue and gold.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe I need to pay a little bit more attention, too. I had no idea.
You'll notice now.
You're going to see it now.
I definitely thought it was all the same, like, monkey, ape,
but
whatever.
If you go to the page, there's a whole catalog, basically, where they'll even tell you if somebody owns this one that they're, like, posting.
Child.
Yeah. It's just a vanity thing.
Yeah.
Imagine in 2022 being proud to be an ape. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is spiraling us way back.
Yeah, it is.
I don't like that. Mm-mm.
You could have just drew my ass for real. Just draw me. Like, just the little characters that you do at the beach and shit.
Yeah,
and
just add a little tweak on my eye. Sorry. Right. Make them bigger.
Well, this is very informative. Very much so.
Inform.
Yeah. Very, very, very much so. So our ending show questions are, what would you tell your younger self?
Shit. Save more money. I don't know.
That is. We don't get those one. Skills.
Yeah. We just, they can think about a $10,000 art and then save more money. Yeah. I love it.
I don't know. Probably would have went to school or something.
You didn't go to school?
Mm-mm.
I didn't know that.
Nope.
That's good to know. You don't have to go to school to be successful.
Hell no.
That shit's a scam.
It's a scam like a motherfucker. Yeah.
I think school to me is specifically college. I think it's just like the holding piece before you get to be an adult.
Yeah.
It's like daycare for adults. It's like you don't know where you want to go, so I'm going to put you here.
Yeah.
You got 4 years to figure it out.
Yeah. And you still most of the time don't even know. And then you come out, you have all this fucking debt. Like
all this fucking debt.
I came out not doing what I went in there for.
Same with every person I know.
I'm the only bitch that is doing what they went to school for.
That's right.
That's come on.
That's still giving
the 1%.
Yeah. Right. Still giving ways.
Still giving ways.
It's like all the shit I learned, I'm not applying. And that could even be set for high school.
Well, so no, and mine is like I said, I went to school for essentially what I have done and do, but nothing that I learned in school can I apply to what I do now. Like nothing. I cannot think of one, you know, like publicity lesson that I learned in college that I've ever applied.
What about drawing up a press release?
I mean, it was more so, the weird thing is it was more so like crisis management. And so that's more so what they would teach you, but it's like the crisis that we're being taught are completely different from the crisis that I have right now.
Right.
So
it's wild.
When I think about it, like we were doing media buying, which is something completely separate, and like we never wrote a press release. Right. Literally, my major was like it was journalism publicity, and never wrote a press release. I still can't write one to my stage.
All right.
$50.
Somebody job.
And then the second question is, what do you know for sure?
What I know for sure that I don't know. I'm gonna die.
So dark.
Oh my god!
I'm like, did you not prepare your man?
You know something for sure.
I know she's for sure.
No.
Did I save it?
Oh, I mean, that's real.
Yeah, it's a cute dude. That's real.
You said no?
You said so many things to me, just in general. You use your imagination to change the situation.
Oh, yeah, but when you're saying that, I need to understand the context of the question.
Oh, okay. So that comes from like, from a stop.
Yeah, contextualize it. Bring us
from, home. That comes from Oprah, right? So the other half of our show, Oprah, but she has a book called What I Know For Sure. And in the book, she talks about all these things that she knows for sure. So like, she'll say, I know that God is real because X, Y, Z. For me, I'll say like, you know, I know that I believe in myself, or, you know, just something like, what is one thing that you absolutely know to be?
Like I said, I'm for gonna die. That is,
like, yeah, you gotta say, I don't want.
I mean,
Oprah.
Like, yes, that's for sure. Like,
be like, God, pay taxes.
Nah, so I took the question very literal. I'm like, okay, I know, for sure that's coming up.
Very, 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 very literal.
Wow, but yeah,
nah. But in regards to one thing, I know is like you said. I always say a quote, you know, like Nas said it, use your imagination to change the situation, right? And I know that as long as I have that, my imagination, then I can, you know, I can change anything.
You never lose that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, I love that.
Mm. Word up.
So where can people find you? Not on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, clearly. I had to delete mine. It's Punch on Instagram.
Love it. How did you get the nickname Punch?
So when I was born, I was like, I was 10 and a half pounds. I was big as hell and had curly hair.
You broke your mama.
And broke my mom's pelvis.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Wow. What happened?
Oh my God.
Ooh, stories like that. Oh, scare me.
Chill. Yeah. Oh yeah. My God. A broken pelvis.
Yeah. Yeah. And they said it was like Pancho Villa, who was like the Mexican bandit, you know, whatever. And then so growing up, really, like, my mom would call me, like, Punch, P-A-N-C-H, which is the short for Punch of V or whatever. But then when I'd be outside kicking it, and like, the kids ask me what my name is, and I'd be like, it's Punch, like, P-A-N-C-H. They'd be like, what, Punch? Like, no, it's Punch with a P-A. And I was just like, all right, fuck
just
it.
Just go with it.
Yeah, I just ran with it.
They're hearing something now.
Yeah. But if, like, you could like, go around my family, like, they call me, like, Punch.
Oh, I love nickname origin stories.
And this is like a birth nickname.
I've had it for a long time, but people think it's from like fighting and shit, so I run with it because it sounds more masculine.
I mean, you do box. So like,
yeah, I do box.
Not it sounds more God. Masculine.
I'm dead.
I mean, you box. Oh, so I would believe it.
Yeah. Oh, and so it's actually worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, the quote is actually from the Kanye documentary. It is what Pharrell told Kanye when Kanye, episode one, when Kanye was Hungry Child, not episode three.
When he played him that song?
Yes. Mm. What was he playing? What song was he playing?
Through the Wire.
Yeah.
And it, you're going to make it. And when you make it, keep the same perspective. Still keep the same hunger. And once niggas tell you you're hot, still doubt yourself. I mean, Kanye never did that, but
not at all.
Not at all.
He believed his
own. But look at him. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But I guess it worked. So, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that talk.
Thank you, Punch.
Man, thanks for having me.
I just adore the fact that the both of y'all is just sitting next to each other.
Yeah, you saw I moved. I was like,
it happened.
No, I was like, we moving, we switching. Yeah, I wanted to see.
But you, but I asked to be on the show. She didn't ask me. I asked.
I love it though.
You want to know why?
Why?
So one day we were sitting, you don't even know this, but one day we were sitting watching Netflix, right? And then I was like, and I was going to select the movie because, you know, we usually take turns or whatever. And then she said,
That's so nice.
It's more so just me, right? But she said something to the extent of like, she was like, it doesn't matter. We're going to watch what you want to watch anyway. Mm. And that just like set off like a big light bulb in my head. I'm like, okay.
I love that you paid attention to that though. Cause a lot of times, you know, it's just like,
Like, fucking 36 years later, like now it goes off. I was like, oh, I'm looking at this very like one sided. So
yeah,
from then I made an effort to like, I'm making an effort to just immerse myself more in her world and watch shows that she want to watch. And things.
I love that.
That's so sweet, babe. Well,
welcome to the pod.
Right, welcome.
Yeah, so I was like, let me see what this podcast is about.
I love that. Do you stop this. Shows or do you just watch whatever?
Well, I mean, at this point, it's that's like 8 years.
I was going to say, like, as small like as that the, is, it's actually like a very big thing.
He's more that's into a thing. TV yeah. than I am. Like, if he's not around, I don't really watch TV.
Okay, so. Yeah.
So he's a TV person, so it doesn't really matter. And I know it's going to be something we both want to watch. And then if it's something I don't want to watch, he'll just watch on his own time. Like, I'm sure he's watching shit now that I would never watch.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
I'll take that TV shit serious. You watch a show without me, that's damn near cheating.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I know he's not watching something that we're already watching together.
Like, I know you ain't watching a new episode of Power without me.
Oh, yeah. No, at least tell me in advance so I can have some time.
Wait, what was
we
watching
it?
That was already watched? And he was like, wait a minute. Yeah, somebody watched this shit out. And I was like, it wasn't me.
I was like, wait a minute.
Niggas
hold
got
on.
This password.
Yeah.
Or at least tell me.
Yeah, like, just tell me.
Watch it, yeah. No, I honestly, yeah, I don't know. We're both very strong individuals, and we definitely don't be watching TV together no more. There's not one show that we watch together.
For real?
Not one.
Love and Marriage, Huntsville coming back.
But then it's like, I gotta watch it on my time. Shit. I'm like, I'm free Sunday. You not? I be watching shit.
Oh, yeah. There's a schedule.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. No, so
it's easier when you live together, I think, to be
to
the
watch
same
it. Yeah.
wavelength with a show.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah. I love that, though.
Yeah, yeah, I nowadays I just like watch whatever she want to watch, but she been coming with fire, so I'm like, shit, I love it here.
It's not that bad. Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah. Like you said, take turns. I love that.
It's just that Love and Basketball Wives thing. I can't really get into.
Oh yeah, he's not a reality TV girl.
The reality TV.
Oh,
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, that's on my.
All
right,
actually, Honesty Hour, Love and Hip Hop New York is kind of fire.
Remember, you did watch it. No, right. That's now they only do like getaway trips and shit. Yeah, it's weird.
I like that.
They made it weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm dead. Yeah, yeah, like, y'all know I don't watch that. That's
not
the
that.
One I don't
not
watch.
That franchise. Yeah. OWN has some fire.
OWN got fire.
Yeah.
OWN has the best reality TV.
Best reality TV.
I was watching it. You not with it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Is that the one with the wine thing? Oh.
That yes, that was on, but that was like scripted.
No.
That was what y'all was talking about.
And used no fucking words. Is that the one with the? Yeah, that was the one. love it. There was no words.
That's funny.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Punch. Thank you for immersing us in the metaverse.
Thanks for having me. I hate the metaverse.
Coming. Same.
Thanks for having me.
Real.
I want to be a reoccurring.
Reoccurring guest.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Whenever we come to LA, come on.
For sure. Me, Mouse, you got to get your boyfriend out
of here. Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
because
we're going to be arguing. Hell no. You know me and Mouse cannot be around other couples, child. It is giving arguments.
We'll make that happen.
It should
just
be three. It should be everybody. Like, all the couples.
Yeah. Y'all going to be like all like, Ann and Daryl going to be all lovey-dovey. Y'all going to be all lovey-dovey. And it's going to be like, nigga, fuck you. No, fuck you, nigga. Like, we're literally that little boy in the car. It's like, suck my dick. Like,
y'all be, no, y'all be really
every episode has been
lovey. lovey-dovey tooth.
No, no, okay, no. Every episode has been a disaster.
Okay, so episodes.
I was like, that nigga's never coming on again. Okay. Like,
no. He was fine when we did 200.
Was fine.
Yeah, he did 199 and
that's because he like hosted it. He wasn't really a guest. No, he's not allowed anymore.
Well, let him host it.
Wow. Really?
Then wow. He can, yeah, dictate the conversation.
Not you banning Mouse.
Right. Let him host.
No, he like flat out like argued.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't. That was an argument.
On what episode?
I really didn't. No, because
that was
that.
The one. Remember we were bye y'all.
Okay. Bye.
Come on. I was like we are not doing this.
Peace.
I'm gonna cut that.
Right I now. Was about to go down too. I really was confused.